So, Father, I pray for the Armstrong family. Lord, I know that grief is something that we go through as people. It's a process you take us through for healing. But I do pray that while they undergo this trial, this hardship, that you would draw close by your Spirit. You said in your word that you are the God of all comfort. And that somehow those who know you can find that comfort, and then they can reach out to their relatives who maybe don't know you and offer that comfort. We just pray for your grace and your blessing upon that time. And Lord, trust that somehow you will bring good out of it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Well, today I'm going to continue on with the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to skip a chapter. We'll cover it next week. I jumped over to chapter 12 because I want to talk a little bit about the body of Christ, and how God uses the church as he describes the church kind of like a body. Like you have a body and you have different members. You have an ear, you have a finger, you have a foot, you have an eye. Each of those members of your body has a different function. But how many of you are glad you have them all? And so the church is put together in a similar way. The Bible says we have the church like a body, and each person is like an ear, an eye, a hand, a foot, a leg. And that's why it's so important that each person sees that they have a place, a role, a function. And that's the reason we're having that ministry fair today, is to explain to you, you know, some of the ministries that are available. And, you know, we started a new church in Canton that there were a number of people who were part of Alliance Christian Center who are now part of Canton Cross Connection. We call it CCC. This is called ACC. That's CCC. But when people from CCC went to start, people from ACC went to start CCC, they were people who were involved in ministry. And so it left a gap, a spot, an opening. So for all of you who felt like, man, there's no place for me to serve, there's plenty of places. Go back there and find out today. And it's just a discovery time. Go back and talk to the people. You'll see tables around the perimeter, and there'll be little on the wall right beside the table will tell you what ministry it is. You can talk to the person who's the head of that ministry and find out what's involved. And maybe God would lead you to help serve in some area. So that's why I'm going to talk about chapter 12 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. You can open your Bible, and someone could get me a glass of water. Would you please, somebody? Jason's gone. The water's gone. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. That's important. God wants us to know about what is called here spiritual gifts, but it's interesting that the word gifts is not really in the original language. It actually says it this way, concerning spiritual, things that are spiritual in a sense. Concerning spiritual, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, now these people in Corinth, before they became Christians, they were pagans. Pagans are simply, I mean, we were all pagans before we came to know the Lord. How many here was a pagan before you? I mean, we all were. So it's not a bad term when you say that person's a pagan. It just means they were without the Lord. And so when Paul's writing, he says, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray. Thank you, Andrew. You were led astray to what he calls mute idols. Who knows what mute means? They cannot speak. You at one time, before you knew Christ, you had this idolatry in your life. You followed after idols of sorts. And God is saying, I want you to know that they were mute. They can never speak. And you can read throughout the Old Testament, it talks about, They would carve a statue out of a piece of wood, but it can't see, it can't hear, it can't speak. And so the Corinthians were actually being led by them. You see what it says there? You were led astray. In other words, they allowed a mute idol, someone who can't speak, to actually lead them and guide them in their life. If you read, I think in chapter 10, we saw it earlier, even though these idols were mute, there was still something of the demonic involved there. But the idea is, when Paul's writing here and he says, now concerning, this word concerning, he used it like six different times in this book of 1 Corinthians. And every time he says, now concerning, he's actually responding to a question that they had. Concerning the things that you wrote to me, and now he begins to talk about it. And now he's writing concerning spiritual gifts. They were asking him some questions about the spiritual. And it seems like when you read the book, when you read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, it seems like the question really centered around the speaking in tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, because those were the things he spoke most about in those chapters. He was trying to bring correction to the use of spiritual gifts. But it's interesting to me that he uses the term mute idols because God still speaks. Those idols that you followed in the past were mute, they can't speak. Now we're following Jesus and he does speak. And Paul's saying to these people, I want you to see what the Lord does with these spiritual gifts. Now, when they came out of this pagan background, I'm sure they had maybe bad experiences here or there. Who knows? The Bible doesn't say. But they at least had questions. And I'm wondering if they thought, man, is this really a valid thing? I mean, we're seeing people standing up in our church over here. They're speaking in tongues and everybody's doing this. And is this really valid? Is this what God really wants? And these questions were coming up. And the title of my message today is called Spiritual Gifts Are God's Idea. And I want you today, as we go through here, I'm going to point out over and over and over again how the Holy Spirit is very much involved in what's called the spiritual here. And I think that what I want to learn from this, and I think what I see he's writing this for, is we cannot let our backgrounds determine what we think God does in speaking to people. So he said, you had a background of being a pagan, and you let mute idols lead you. You were being led astray by them. Now you're coming to Christ, and you're in this church, and the church seems to be using all these things that they thought were crazy. And Paul's trying to find a balance and an understanding and the correct use of them. But he's saying, in a sense, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You were led astray by mute idols, but the Lord still speaks. Don't cut that off. How many of you were raised up in a church that before you became a Christian, never exercised spiritual gifts? Let me see your hand. Okay. And be honest with me, how many of you have ever seen a spiritual gift used and you thought that is really strange? Be honest with me. Okay. That's, you know, a lot of people here. How many still think it's strange? Okay. He's speaking to you today. Don't let your past experience, even if you've had a bad experience, dictate what the Word of God teaches. There are counterfeit spiritual gifts, but if there are counterfeits, it means there's got to be a real. And our heart as a church, our heart as a people, is not to say, oh, there's counterfeits, so let's not ever do that. Is to say, let's find the real. Let's find where God is speaking. Let's let the Lord speak. Because this spiritual gifts are his idea. Whatever you think about it. You could walk in here on a Sunday morning and say, I just don't believe that. That's fine. You can believe what you want to believe, but I hope you'll leave here today at least seeing that it is God's idea. And maybe something has to change in our thinking around spiritual gifts. There are some people today who would say the Holy Spirit never speaks apart from Scripture. I mean, obviously, the Scripture becomes our guide, and we judge by the Scripture, but the Holy Spirit does speak. He guides us. Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit. He will remind you things that I've said. He will show you things to come. He still speaks. He's not mute. He's not a God who is mute. And on the other hand, there are some people who think that every event, every dream they have, every thought that happens to cross their mind is God speaking. And that's not true either. You know, the truth is somewhere in the middle there, you know. But God does speak. Some people in the church, maybe even here, but in the church that Paul wrote to, thought spiritual gifts were strange, and they avoided them, or they despised them. That's a bad word. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit's kind of like a flame. Don't throw water on it. Don't quench the Spirit. And he says, do not despise prophecies. Do not. So if you're here and you hear prophecy and you despise it, you're going against the heart of God. We're supposed to judge it, and we should judge it. But judging a prophecy is different than despising it. Being able to hold people accountable who are speaking for the Lord in the use of spiritual gifts is a responsibility for us to judge it and to hold them accountable, but we cannot despise it. And if you have that in your heart, maybe it's time to say, Lord, change something in me. You might say, well, I don't despise prophecy, but I despise the person who's prophesying. That's not your choice. That is not, it is the Lord who gives this gift. You really can't separate the two in one sense. He says, don't despise prophecy, but test everything and then hold fast to what is good. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, which we'll cover this in a few weeks, here's what he says. Listen to this. This is 1 Corinthians 14:37. If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, how many here think you're spiritual? Well, not many. Okay, well, I hope that changes soon. All right, well, if anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, that wasn't a trick question. I'm thinking you're thinking that was a trick question. It was not a trick question. He says, if you think you're a prophet or spiritual, you should acknowledge that the things I'm writing to you are the command of the Lord. See, if there were people in Corinth that had a problem with what Paul was saying, he's saying, listen, if you think you're a prophet or you are spiritual, then you must acknowledge that what I'm writing, this is the command of the Lord. This isn't Paul's idea. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. And so, brothers, listen to what he says. Earnestly desire to prophesy. You have these two D's. Despise prophecy or desire prophecy. You got to fall somewhere on that continuum. Desire prophecy has the idea of being hot for something, like boiling. I really want this in my life. To seek to prophesy. So he says, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and Do not forbid to speak in tongues. This is in the scripture. It's something that we have to embrace. You may think it's strange. I think it's strange. But it's God's way. It is what God has chosen. The title of the message is Spiritual Gifts Are God's Idea. I want to make sure I'm aligned with God's idea, not my idea. I might think lots of things are strange that God's put his stamp on. Like the prophet who was told to prophesy naked for... How many of you ever felt that was kind of weird in the Bible? I don't think he does that today. But it says in verse 40 that all things should be done decently and in order, right? So we want to allow the use of spiritual gifts. We want to have it decently and done in order. So I think that the whole, I've actually seen 1 Corinthians 12 in a new light in studying this past couple weeks about the idea that he's writing to people who really were having a problem with it, really because of their past, wanting to avoid things that looked spiritual, things that looked to them like, I was led astray by mute idols. I don't want to see that happen now. And Paul's trying to draw a distinction there. But he's putting this imprint upon the heart of the people. This is something that is from God. And that's what I want you to see this morning. So if you question spiritual gifts, if you despise spiritual gifts, if you don't agree with spiritual gifts, at least open your heart to see this morning that is obviously something that the Lord has in mind. And if you can start from there, then you can begin to study it more and embrace it. So verse 3, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God, no one speaking, in other versions say, by the Spirit of God. In other words, you were led astray to mute idols, but God still speaks. There are people who still speak by the Spirit of God. Doesn't mean they're perfect. Doesn't mean they never make a mistake, because prophecies are to be judged. But nonetheless, people do speak by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. Even in 2019, people speak by the Holy Spirit. So no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says that Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And I think what he's saying there, no one can say that Jesus is Lord and mean it, like he is my Lord. You would never say that apart from the Holy Spirit. Because when you say Jesus is Lord, you're basically saying my whole life is surrendered to him. Jesus is Lord. We can always judge prophecy and people speaking by the Spirit somewhat by the content, because it says here, no one speaking by the Spirit of God will ever say Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And in John 16, it says the Holy Spirit will always glorify me. If someone's speaking by the Holy Spirit, they're going to glorify Jesus. And I also think that a person speaking by the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God, because the Word of God is written by the Holy Spirit. So we can judge by content. And that's kind of what he's saying here. Verse 4. There are varieties of gifts, different kinds, but the same what? Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. He's saying the Holy Spirit gives these gifts. It doesn't come from Kirk. It doesn't come because you're part of a certain denomination. It doesn't come because of a belief system. It is the Spirit who gives. And so when a person is being used in a spiritual gift, we can look at them and say the Holy Spirit has endowed them with this. It is the Holy Spirit. I didn't give them the gift. I can't. It is the Lord. So there are varieties of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but it's the same Lord. There's only one Lord that we're serving. There's only one Lord. There's not two Lords. There's not two Spirits. It's the same Spirit. All these gifts, all the varieties that are there, same Spirit. All the varieties of services are ways of functioning, but it's the same Lord that we're serving. And there are varieties of activities or operations, some versions say, or administrations, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. But I want you to see here, first of all, diversity, different gifts. In this chapter, there's 9 different gifts mentioned, which we'll talk about in just a moment. 9 different gifts. There's a few others near the bottom of the chapter. There's some mentioned in Romans 12. There's some mentioned in Ephesians 4. So I don't think these are like the total list of gifts, but it's a list of many gifts. There are varieties, but it's the same Holy Spirit. So you may have a person who's a great evangelist, and that's a gift, but it's the Holy Spirit who gave them. You may have a person over here who speaks in tongues, and that's a different kind. It's a different variety, but it's the same Holy Spirit. And you may say, boy, I love that guy who's a great teacher. That's a gift from the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit, but that person who prophesied has it from the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit that anointed that evangelist, that anointed that great teacher, that anointed that pastor, or whoever it is that you look to and say, what a great man of God that was, that anoints this person to speak in tongues. It's the same Spirit. They're not different. So there's varieties, diversity, different kinds of service. And I think of an example of different kinds of service. You may have somebody working with children as an example. But think about this. Everybody who works with children is not the same. You may have a person who's a gifted teacher. That's a different kind of service. They're working with children as a teacher. Somebody else might be working with children as an evangelist. Somebody else might be working in the children's ministry and they're a great administrator. Somebody else might be working with children's ministry and they're a servant. And it's okay because there are different kinds of carrying it out. But it's the same Lord that we serve. If I'm the teacher, I'm still serving Jesus. And if I'm the evangelist, I'm still serving Jesus. And if I'm the administrator, I'm still serving Jesus. We all look different. There is that diversity, but there's also a continuity, you know, unity. Because it's the same Lord that we serve. Does that make sense to you all? And then he finally says, it is the same God who empowers them all. So the God who empowers this person to teach and this person to preach the gospel and this person to be a great administrator is the same God who empowers this person to stand up on a Sunday morning and speak in tongues. And he empowers this person to interpret that gift. And he empowers this person to exhort. It's the same Holy Spirit. So again, my emphasis on this is how much God is involved. Next, verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. He actually calls these spiritual endowments or spiritual gifts manifestations of the Spirit. The word manifestation means something's revealed. Something's hidden, now it's revealed. A manifestation of the Spirit. So, for example, if you were to go and pray for a person and they receive a healing, something of the Spirit was manifested. It wasn't there, but now it's there. There was a miracle took place. It was a gift. It came from God, but it was called a manifestation of the Spirit. It wasn't called Kirk the Great Healer. It wasn't called Joe the Mighty Flaming Healing Evangelist. It was called God empowering, the Spirit manifesting himself. We're simply a vessel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the glory may be of him, not of us. We should be grateful that God has called us to be a vessel, earthen, jars of clay. But it is the manifestation of the Spirit. And so when a person comes here, I'm speaking about prophecy and tongues and interpretation because that's kind of the import here. But when a person is coming here, I'm looking for a manifestation of the Spirit. Lord, what is your Spirit saying? I'm not looking, what are they wearing? I can't believe they wore those clothes up there to prophesy today. Or I can't believe But last week, that person did this. Now I see them standing there. I'm looking to say, Lord, what is it that you're manifesting through this person who is a willing vessel to my heart today? What is it you're saying to me? Because I'm not being led by a mute idol. We are being led by a God who speaks. So, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? Common good. In other words, everybody should benefit from this. For to one, and I want you to hear the word, to one is given through the Spirit. Individual, and again, the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom. To another, that's an individual, the utterance of knowledge according to the same what? Spirit. To another person in each. To another, faith by the same what? Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one what? Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. All these are empowered by the one and same Spirit who apportions or divides up to each one individually. Listen to this, as he wills. It's his will. It's his choice. Who he uses and how he uses them. I don't think there's ever a problem with a spiritual gift. It's, are we willing? He wills. He's dividing them out. He's saying, hey, here's some for you, some for you, some for you. I'm dividing them up. I want the church to function as a body. Every one of you have received something from the Lord for the common good so that everybody benefits. And some of us will just sit on our hands. When it is the Lord who has said, I have divided this gift to you. I'm taking something of myself and I'm saying, Bill, use this gift. Use it. I will empower you. I'm giving it to you. I mean, we don't have to do anything except receive it and open our mouth. You know what I mean? Be willing, because the Lord is the one who empowers. It is for the common good. I want to read how this verse is translated in a few other versions of the Bible. In the ERV, it says, something from the Spirit can be seen in each person. Something from the Spirit can be seen in each person. Now we're starting to get into this idea of being the body of Christ. You know, you're sitting there, you're an ear, you're a hand, you're a foot, you're a leg, you're an eyeball. We all have a part, something that God has distributed by his Spirit. And so something from the Spirit can be seen in each person. The Spirit gives this to each one to help others. To each person has been given the ability to manifest the Spirit for the common good. To each person. Next verse. The evidence of the Spirit's presence is given to each person for the common good of everyone. Aren't these really encouraging scriptures? The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. And then finally, but to every man, some form of the Spirit's working is given for the common good. I hope that what you can see in those verses right there is that God actually wants to use you to build Kirk Martin's life. Amen. You might think, Kirk doesn't need to be built. He's like the man of God. I need to be built. I need to be built up. I need to be encouraged. And it's coming from everybody else. You say, well, I go to church to hear the preacher. That's fine. Go to church to hear the preacher. But the preacher's coming to the church to hear you. And not just on Sunday morning. Sometimes it's something that happens through the week. But everybody has something to contribute that is a manifestation of the Spirit. And it's for all of us. Our church lacks when we don't desire to be used of the Lord. Everybody suffers. It's like having a body with an arm that doesn't work. or an eye that doesn't see. I'm not saying that to condemn anybody. I'm just saying how necessary each of you are to the life of the Church of Jesus Christ. Nobody is unimportant. Nobody is not needed. That's a double negative. That means everybody is needed. He mentions the three different gifts that are here, or nine different gifts. There's vocal gifts like tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, power gifts like faith, working in miracles, gifts of healing, and revelation gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. I'm not going to touch on those today, but just he just kind of gives you, there's a variety. There's a variety of different kinds of gifts. Verse 12, for just as the body is one, and he's talking about your physical body. How many of you are glad that your body is one? In other words, it stays together. In other words, on Sunday morning when you get up to go to church, your legs don't jump out of bed while the rest of you stays. You might like to do that, or you might want to just have your head show up for work one day, but our body is one. It stays together. I'm going to send my head to work, or I'm going to stay home and play video games. So just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. It's the same with Jesus. For in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Those are interesting words there. I'm focusing on what is the Holy Spirit doing in this chapter. He says, for in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. And he says, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. What's he talking about? Well, I think there's a link back to a kind of a parallel verse in 1 Corinthians 10, where he talked about 1 Corinthians 10 verses 1 through 4, where he says, all of our fathers were under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They were baptized into Moses. And also it says they drank from the rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So there was a baptism into Moses and a drinking from the rock. And I think he's drawing the parallel to what they experienced there to the church. We are also baptized not into Moses, but we're baptized into Christ. When we become a Christian, we are baptized into that one body. There's only one Jesus. Now, I know the church in America, the church in the world has divided it up by all kinds of things, you know, doctrines and denominations and all that. But there's only one Jesus. You know, we don't have a different Jesus than the Baptist church down the road over here. It's the same Jesus. And hopefully, as time goes on, we, in our limited understanding and thinking, will see what the priorities should be so we can see greater unity because the church is one. And I know, in another sense, the church has to be one in a local church body versus universal. It's very difficult to be one with a Christian who's living in China, as an example. But we can be one in a local assembly. And we also need to drink of the one Spirit. Let me ask you the question here. What are you drinking of? See, there's something that you, when you get thirsty, you drink. When I speak of thirst here, I'm talking about not natural thirst, but the thing that you think is going to satisfy you inside. What are you drinking from? I'm telling you, the people who are being used by the Lord, they are drinking from the Spirit. They are going to the Holy Spirit saying, Lord, fill me. Quench my thirst. Lord, I want to drink from you. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Because when you're drunk with wine, you're under the influence of wine. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're under the influence of the Spirit. So I encourage you, especially you who are used in the spiritual gifts, drink from that Spirit. It's the same Spirit. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in fasting, spend time in the Word of God. Drink from the Spirit and allow that to fill you. So he's again showing that we are many, but we have the same Lord that we're baptized into. It's the same Holy Spirit that we drink from. You drink from the same Holy Spirit the Apostle Paul drank from.
That's right.
He didn't change over 2,000 years. You're baptized into the same body of Christ that Paul the Apostle was baptized into, and Peter was baptized into, and Barnabas, and Silas, and Timothy, same one. And we drink from the same Holy Spirit. When we read in the book of Acts and we see Philip and Barnabas and Paul and all those guys, all the miracles and the signs and wonders, and we always say, boy, I wish I lived back in the days of Acts. You are living in the book of the Acts. We're just not writing about it anymore. He's still acting. He's still working. And the same Holy Spirit that was alive there is alive here. Drink from him. What are the ramifications of being baptized into the body? Verse 14, the body does not consist of one member. How many are glad about that? That when you come to church on Sunday morning, there's more than just you here. I love it when I come and I can look out and see some other people. It would be really weird if I came and it's just me. I'd have to say something and see if I could run faster than the speed of sound to go hear myself speaking down there in the chair. But this isn't just talking about Sunday morning church. I'm just kind of making light of something. But he's making a point that we need each other. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, anybody ever had a talking foot? If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it less a part of the body, would it? How many of you have ever wanted to be something else? I wish I was like Dave Walker. I don't want to be me, I want to be Dave. No, Dave is Dave. You have to be you. You're a foot, he's a hand. Be the best foot. Let him be a great hand. You know, don't say you're not part of the body because you're not the hand. Be a foot. Even if you're a little baby toe, be the best baby toe. You'll get an award one day that says, this right here is the best baby toe that ever existed on the planet. Because we're doing it, we're drinking from the Spirit. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. That's kind of like you feel inconsequential. You feel unneeded. I'm not part of the body. I'm not the eye. The eye sees things, I just hear things. How many of you know it's good that you have ears that can hear? But for some reason, this ear didn't feel like it was contributing, and so I'm not going to be part of the body. He says that would not make it any less a part of the body. What if the whole body were an eye? What would that look like? A giant eyeball rolling down the aisle. Hey, I want you to meet our new brother in the Lord today. He just got saved, and it's an eyeball rolling. What if that was the whole of the body? You know, it's ridiculous. You know, I think Paul is kind of throwing out some jokes here to help these people see what he's talking about. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God, there we have the Lord coming into this again. As it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each of them as he chose. As he chose. He chose to use this person. He chose to use that person. This is God's choice. What we need to be doing as we're seeking how does God want to use us is say, Lord, what have you chosen me for? What is your purpose for my life? Why have you created me? And find that spot. God has arranged the members as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. I want to tell you today, I have need of you. I have need of you. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And I hope you can look to the person to your right or to your left or behind you or in front of you and say, I need you. You may not know what that person brings to the table because maybe they haven't found their place. Maybe they haven't stirred it up, but you need them. There's something that person has for you. And you may feel God can never use me. God chose to use you. It's his choice. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Parts that are weaker are indispensable. How many of you feel like you're weak in the body of Christ? You're indispensable. You are indispensable. Everybody else feel strong? Praise God. This seems odd from the question I asked at the beginning of the service. Now we're all strong. Maybe just through hearing this sermon, you've all of a sudden gotten strong. Praise God. No, I'm just kidding. But on the parts of the body we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. And finally, we'll read these last couple of verses here. Why did God compose the church this way? Why did God choose this as his pattern, so to speak? Well, it's in verse 24b. God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacks. So number one reason God chose to do this is to give honor to everybody. Everybody. Give honor to people. I love to see, I was talking to Aiden this morning, just a little bit before the church service. Aiden is such a, he's such a servant's heart. He's a young boy, like ninth grade. But the kid is like, he outserves servants. He just has a heart, you know, to give and to help and to do whatever. It's just amazing. If you ever get a chance to be around him, he's truly an inspiration. But give honor to him. He's a young boy. You might think, what could he ever contribute? He contributes an awful lot. So one of the reasons why God has chosen to build his church this way is to give honor to everybody. 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 You look at the person in the church that you think has nothing to contribute, they are to be held in higher honor. All we got to do is tease it out of them. Find out what it is. What is it? God has you here for a reason. Help them understand it. Because they have something that will build you. And everybody. It's for the common good. Another reason he did this is verse 25. That there may be no division in the body. You know, division was a big problem in the Corinthian church. We've covered that in the earlier chapters. And Paul says, God has caused the church to be able to come together in such a way, the giving and sharing of spiritual gifts, the being used in them as well as receiving from them, to break away from division. All of a sudden, this person I have a hard time with, he's speaking into my life and giving me great counsel and wisdom, understanding to help me overcome my problems. Or this person that I had an unforgiveness toward, I've gone to them and I've prayed with them and we received some wisdom from another brother, another sister, and we reconciled our relationship and now there's love where there used to be hatred. That's a great gift from the Lord. And so God has given us all spiritual gifts so that there would be no division in the body. And the next part of the verse, but that the members should have the same care for one another. You know, when you begin to use the gifts that God's given you and you touch another person's life, like I know one of the gifts my wife has is a gift of hospitality. And that means that she opens her home and her heart to people. And I cannot tell you how many people that have blessed our life abundantly, and how many friends we've made because of the gift in her life. It's because she said, hey, I want to open my home. Come and see me. And it's like in the seeing, there's a sharing, there's a loving, there's a compassion. All of a sudden, you have a new BFF. What's your Facebook page? But it says here that we have the same care for one another. Care. That word care is the same word that was used when the Good Samaritan went to take care of the guy laying in the ditch. It's giving of yourself to really help the need of another person. God created the spiritual gifts functioning in a body so that we could have the same care for one another. And then finally, he says, verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one is honored, all rejoices together. I just put down the word that we should have empathy. Just like today, you know, we cared for Katie Hostetler, who's going for her operation. We cared for the Armstrong family. I mean, even though we don't know everybody in that family, there's something in our heart because God has knit us together as a family of sorts. And we share, we have compassion, we share our love, we share a spiritual gift of encouragement, maybe a hospitality, maybe a showing of mercy, who knows, but we somehow God begins to knit the people of God together into a place of empathy and care. That's why he's designed the church around the idea of body ministry. And that's why when you don't contribute, I lack. I hurt. Something's missing. And when you don't contribute, somebody else loses something. Everybody suffers. So again, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody. I'm just saying, hey, when Jesus saved you, he saved you for a reason. And somehow it's included in caring for the body of Christ in whatever gift, ministry, passion that he's placed in your life. There's really nothing like a church member who never does anything in the Bible. Can I say that and be, not have you throw rotten tomatoes at me? There's nothing like this in the Bible. The Bible describes something totally different, a body of functioning members. It's just finding what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. And there's great grace here. There's great openness. You know, if you have something that we don't do and you want to do it, we'll help you do it. We just want you being a missionary. You know, we're all missionaries. That's our theme for the year. This next part, he just lists a few gifts here. He appointed in the church apostles, prophets, their teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all possess gifts of healing? These are imposed? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But he says, earnestly desire the higher gifts. Earnestly desire. That's that word again. Be hot. Be boiling in your heart. God, I want to be used by you. It may not be a vocal gift being used in the church service. Not everybody has those gifts. It may be praying for the sick. It may be showing mercy. It might be hospitality. It might be teaching children. It might be evangelizing your neighbor. Who knows what it is? But there's something of Jesus that he deposited into you, a gift, a ministry, a talent. He says, use this to build my body. Use this to build up my church. And that's what we're all called to. So I'd like you to stand with me as we close. And I just have a couple of questions I want to ask you as we think about praying together. First is, are you part of the body of Christ? How do you become part of the body of Christ? It says they were baptized into Christ. I think it's talking about our salvation, and water baptism could be included, but basically, what are the steps you need to do to be in Christ? You're not in Christ just because you're born. You're not in Christ just because you breathe oxygen. You're in Christ because you make a decision to say, you know what? I've been living my life my way, but now I want to make a step over here and say, Jesus, I want to choose to follow you. I want to be baptized into your body. I want to be a functioning member of your body. It's a decision we all must make. So maybe today you're not part of the body of Christ, but you would like to be. We will pray for you. That can happen. The second question I'd like you to think about is, what are you drinking? What are you drinking? Are you drinking from the one Spirit? I hope you will. I hope you will focus on that in your prayer life, your devotion to the Lord. And it's not just for people who are being used in vocal gifts here. If you're a Sunday school teacher, drink from that Spirit before you come into that class. If you're a worship leader, go drink from the Spirit before you come in here and strum your guitar or beat your drum. You know, whatever it may be, if you're going out there to talk to people in the nursing home, drink from the Spirit, because it is from the Spirit that he's gifted you. It is God who empowers you, and it is the one Lord that you are serving in any of those capacities. Jesus said, apart from me, you could do nothing. So what are you drinking from? The third question I'd like you to think about today is, what do you think about spiritual gifts? And if you despise them, I pray that you will leave here today and say, I need to rethink it. Maybe rethink it. Go back. My notes are here. I can give you copies. Study them. I mean, we're just trying to preach the word. I'm not saying everything I say is perfect, but search the scripture. And if you are a person who has been despising them, you need to say, Lord, I repent of that and change me. Let me see it as something that you are involved in, something that you have designed. It doesn't make sense to me, but it doesn't have to make sense to you. Since when does what God does have to make sense to me? You know what I mean? I find plenty of things in the Bible that don't make sense to me, but I'm not the final judge on those things. He is. And so I just ask you, if your view of spiritual gifts is different than what you see here, or what you've heard today or in the scripture, ask God to change your heart. Just say, Lord, let me see it the way you see it. And go back to the word. Just go to the word. And the fourth thing I'd like you to pray about today is simply to stir up the gift that's in you. What is it, Lord? Why did you create me? My favorite scripture, one of my favorite scriptures is Jeremiah. Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were there, I knew you. I called you to be a prophet to the nations. That God had a destiny and a plan and a purpose for that boy's life before he ever entered his mother's womb. And that the greatest joy any of us will ever have is when we're in the center of God's purpose for your life. You might say, I would never want to be a missionary in a foreign country where there's persecution of Christians. But God calls some people there, and they are most fulfilled there. May not be your calling, but they are fulfilled because before they were in their mother's womb, the Lord said, I've called you for this. So you don't have an appetite for what everybody else does, but you do have an appetite for what he's called you to do. And I pray you will stir it up and ask the Lord to give you insight about it. So let's pray. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to do a work within our church, Lord God. Do a work within the people to stir us up. Lord, we want to be that body of Christ that you designed, that you chose, that you arranged the members of the body as it pleased you. Help us to be responsive to you, Lord. Help us to have an open heart, an open ear to these things in your word. Change us as we need changed. I want to pray right now, if there's any of you here who've never made that decision to be a follower of Jesus, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And you know, getting saved is kind of like getting married. You know, one day you walked up in front of a preacher and you said, from this day forward, I'm going to commit to being your husband. That's kind of what it takes to being a Christian. You're saying, Jesus, from this day forward, I don't understand everything. I don't even know what this guy is talking about up there. I've never even heard these things. But from this day forward, I want to follow you. And the Bible says when you make that decision, his Holy Spirit will come and live inside of you. He will change you. He will make you a new person. He will remove your sin and make you a child of God. And so I'm going to pray a simple prayer. If you want to take that step this morning and be, in a sense, baptized into Christ, pray with me. Lord Jesus, this morning, I want to make that decision to say yes to you. I want to be part of your body on the earth, part of this church, part of the body of Christ that you describe, the church of Jesus. I want to be in that. I want to be included there. So today, Lord, I ask you to forgive my sin. I repent of my sin. I want to turn to you. Fill me with your spirit. Make me your child. Help me to live for you every day for the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus, amen.